Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, 347. Carton and Roberts on the Fan. There are reports after Russell Westbrook got traded to the Wizards for John Wall in number one that the Knicks did have conversations and decided that the Westbrook contract was just not worth it.
They're right. So they made the right
another
decision.
Another competent move by the Knickerbockers.
They made the right decision.
Although I would have liked to have seen him for a couple years.
Why?
But I get it. I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
And I think what that shows you, by the way, is that the Rockets are clearly running it back because James Harden wants to play with John Wall. They take back a number one draft pick in the process.
Yeah.
And so they're going to run it back with Harden. He's not going anywhere. And I think that should end the Harden trade rumors for at least until we get closer to the trade deadline, depending on the success that they have, but more likely the offseason.
No,
that
it does.
Should end it.
It's it over. Does. And it just proves the point again that he didn't want to come to Brooklyn. Here's Rob in New Hyde Park. Robert, good afternoon. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
My man, pots and pans.
All right. After that last segment, I think the wrestling caller was onto something. We got Evan bragging about dunking on a 6-foot hoop. I think he needs to be put through.
I never bragged about dunking on a 6-foot hoop.
Fundraiser, a holiday fundraiser to put Evan through a table. Just throwing that out.
I have no problem.
My main point was though, there's a movement that is very apropos to the caller and his girlfriend before, and it's kind of like this saying, and it goes, "Thick thighs save lives." All right. So she's a nurse. Happens to have a thick bottom, which is always nice, of course. But there's paraphernalia, there's clothing and whatnot. And I thought, Craigie, you might want to know about this because you could probably parlay that into a little bit of a little business opportunity.
I'm trying to avoid all business opportunities these days in my life because none of them have ever worked out. That being said, thick thighs save lives. I don't know why we don't have a T-shirt made like that by Izzo by tomorrow.
When did I ever brag about dunking on a 6-foot hoop?
You talked a little bit about there's a bit of an arrogance to the
there's
video.
There's no arrogance to it.
We could go back and check the tapes.
You can check the tapes. And all I was asked a very fair question. Mm-hmm. Caller said, hey, what's less athletic? Mocking me, which is fine. Less athletic, Jastrzemski's golf swing or your dunk? And I said his golf swing is less athletic. Now all of a sudden that's bragging? I don't brag. That's your job. The beauty of me and you is we're very different in a lot of ways. You do the bragging. I don't.
I ain't got nothing to brag about.
52-yard field goal. Well, I mean, you should have seen it.
It's not bragging. I'm just going to deal in reality.
Okay.
Like, if you tell someone a fact, that's a proven fact, and it got proven.
Uh-huh.
Right? It was a fact check.
Did I dunk on a hoop?
That's not bragging.
Did I dunk on a hoop?
Well, you dunked on a 6-foot hoop.
Did I dunk on a 6-foot hoop?
Yes.
So it's just a fact. I didn't brag. It's a fact. You hit a 52-yard field goal. Apparently, that's a fact.
Yes.
And by the way, I bought the kicking tee.
Yeah, oh, you did?
This weekend.
Yeah, you're going to find
I got it all planned out. And no editing. Like, I'm very truthful about this. No editing. I am going to attempt 10 30-yard field goals in a row.
Who's going to film it?
My wife is going to film it.
All right. Very good.
My son will probably just run around having fun, maybe chase the footballs.
All good.
I got the tee. I got the field already planned out.
Okay.
10 in a row. We'll see how many I hit. I have no confidence. I'm thinking maybe 2. Maybe 1.
How far are we going again? 20?
30 yards, right?
30? No, you're not going to make it 30.
So what do we got to do, 20?
I think make it 20 before you go to 30. I don't think you're going to make a 30-yard field goal. I do think you'll make a 20-yarder, 1 at least out of 10.
You think I'll make 1?
I do not think you'd make a 30-yarder.
I have no idea.
We're going to find out, though.
No, and I'm going to be truthful, man. You got to trust me. So one thing about me, I will be trustworthy.
I got no problem with that. I did get a number of people texting me, people in my life, who asked the question, who saw the video of you dunking on the 6-foot goal in your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that's your driveway.
Yes.
And it's a fair question, but I'm going to ask it.
You can ask anything.
They want to know, and I'm sorry to ask this question, but once I saw it, and a number of people, like prominent people in the sports world even reached out
prominent
to me.
Prominent people in
wanted
the sports
to know.
World?
Yeah.
What's the question? I'll answer it.
Those of us who have kids who have had driveway basketball hoops have also experienced the frustration of building the basketball hoop.
Yes.
They want to know who built it for you.
Well, here's the truth.
The accusation is Evan Roberts did not build that hoop.
No, it was actually there when we bought the house.
I knew it.
And it was one of the things that intrigued me. I'm not going to lie. We looked at so many houses. We come up to this house. You know, my wife's looking at the living room, the layout. The backyard was very important. I saw that hoop there, and it clicked in my head. This is great. I'm going to have to do no work. Hoop's already here. This is fantastic.
So my people were right.
Yeah.
No way Evan Roberts put that thing together.
Oh, God.
Right?
Do you think I would be able to put that together? You know what I did do, though?
Go ahead.
I changed the netting to the metal net. I did do that.
You went to the five-burrow chain netting?
Correct. I went to the chain netting.
Why?
Because I thought it was awesome. Because I loved White Man Can't Jump, and it's in that movie. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
When you grow up in the five boroughs, you try to get away from the chain link netting.
Why?
You want a white silky net.
Nah.
Because it's like the garden. You went the other way.
Here we go with the garden. Well, gotta be at the garden.
You went the other way.
So? What's wrong with that?
You went chain link net.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Hey,
and then I got calls after I released that video saying, you know, it's not safe to have the chain link net. You should change
it. Well, you can't jump and reach it, so it's fine.
Exactly.
It's just fine. Here's Brian in the Queens. Brian, what do you got, buddy?
Hello.
Hello.
So, Craigie, I got a quick bone to pick with you first, if you don't mind.
Of course.
So, if you addressed it already, I apologize. But you said last week or whatever the other day to Evan that you went by the Barstool headquarters and met with KFC or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you talk about or discuss that El Prez, the God, called you fake news with your Tiffany Trump story? Said it was absolutely fake, false. He barely said hello to her in the restaurant. Someone introduced him. They just said hello quick. She didn't know who he was. That your story was fake. Now, I try to live by a lot
fair
of
enough.
Women and children.
Fair enough.
Men.
Fair
did
enough.
You
so,
lie to all of us or what?
So here's the dealio. So, number one, I did go over to Barstool, was it yesterday? 2 days ago.
I think it was Tuesday, right?
Yep. And I sat down with KFC, and I did his Mail Time podcast, number one. Number two, he did not ask me about it once in an hour-long interview. Number three, in regards to the report that I told you my daughter saw El Presidente in Komodo, a restaurant in South Beach, with Tiffany Trump, I heard what El Prez had to say about it. He confirmed it. Now, was he with her at a table? Apparently not. But all I said is that my daughter said she was at a restaurant and saw him with Tiffany Trump. Now, he described what it was,
right,
that he had been introduced to her, and that if you were paying attention, it would have been obvious that he was not quote-unquote with her. But I never said he was banging her or dating her. All I said was that my daughter saw him in a restaurant and happened to see him talking to her with Tiffany Trump. He confirmed that. And that's it. That's all.
All right. Well, it was presented to him on his podcast. You said you heard it that he was with Tiffany Trump. He said never. He said on the podcast he was gonna tweet at you that it was fake.
But
news.
It's not. But here's the thing. It's not fake news. He confirmed that he saw her in that restaurant.
The fake would have been they both were never there.
Being with her, yes, her and being with her in the restaurant is two different things.
I agree. But listen. I'm not. I didn't say that I saw him. All I said is that my daughter called me, knew that I was friendly with him. That we're not friends, but we're friendly. Mutual admiration society kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know the guys at Barstool and talk about him a lot and with them a lot. And I said my daughter thought it was interesting. Hey, your buddy's here. Oh, look, he's talking to Tiffany Trump. And that's kind of how I reported it, or it said it when Evan asked me about it. So I stand by that. He then confirmed. Was he in the restaurant? Yes. Did he talk to her so you could have seen from afar, there's Dave Portnoy, there's Tiffany Trump? Yes. Period. Stop. It's a non-story, which is why I never said a word after he said it was fake news, because it's stupid. Like, I truly, I love what Dave's done and the empire he's built, and I'm a huge fan of his and the Barstool entity and what it is, and Erica Nardini and KFC, everyone knows we're friends. I don't care who Portnoy bangs. I really don't.
Well, it was presented to him falsely, though, by the way. Because when I heard it, they presented it as, and if this isn't his fault, they presented it as Craig saw you.
Which
out
I
with
never
Tiffany.
Said.
That's not what you said. Your daughter, and by the way, no offense to your daughter, once those there's different layers of a story, it's a game of telephone. But look, I mean, once your daughter's telling you something, and then you're telling us something.
You asked, I answered the question. So let me be very clear about it. I have zero interest and don't care. Unless Dave Portnoy steals Justin Herbert's girlfriend away from him, I would care about that. Just from a man standpoint, and want to hug him and give him a high five. Outside of that, I don't care who he hangs out with or sleeps with. I love the product. I love the content they put out, and I will always be a fan. But that whole thing became so stupid. That's also my daughter. She's 20 years old. She saw two celebrities talking to each other. She ran to her daddy to tell him. That's all. And now she's at the doctor's office. See, you're done.
We found that out today, right?
Here's Timmy in Westchester. Timmy, what do you got?
Hey, first off, Evan, I got to say, you giving Reservoir Dogs a D
yes.
plus?
Yes.
Come on.
It was terrible. Bro, I didn't care about who killed who. It was just boring, man.
No.
Let him go.
But just... Quentin Tarantino is all about the dialogue. He is the best dialogue-driven director of all time. All
right.
You could have a movie of nothing. Just sort of like.
Well, then you go home and watch nothing but Quentin Tarantino movies, and then spend the rest of your life watching it. I thought it sucked. How about that?
Oh, look at that.
Oh.
Are you up for two movies this weekend or just one?
I would go with one just out of safety, but I got to tell you, overall, six movies on the, whatever you want to call it, Craig Carton's homework list.
You guys are keeping track of all the movies and the grades.
I am.
I hope, Tommy, you've got that.
They don't have
down.
To. I am. And I've even written down all the grades. I'm very organized. All
right.
Out of the six movies, five of the six got pretty good grades. The only one that really struggled was Reservoir Dogs. I mean, you guys freak out about Godfather. I gave it a B. A B's a good grade. I gave My Blue Heaven a B. I gave Goodfellas a B+. I gave Scarface a B+, and I gave Usual Suspects an A-.
There you go.
It's pretty good.
Those are the movies. Those are the grades. We give them the movies every Friday. We try to review them on Monday. Sometimes the review goes into Tuesday, but that's just during football season. Once we're done with football season, it'll be Friday movie, Monday review.
I watched a very interesting comedy on Hulu the other night. So there's this couple, Kristen Stewart's in it. It's these two females, they're lovers together, and they go home to one of the woman's house for Christmas, but she hasn't come out to her parents. And all the hilarity ensues.
Oh,
it's a very good movie.
So the parents think they're just friends.
Right.
The partner wants everybody to know. She's not willing to share.
Kristen Stewart's like, come on, let's talk about how much we love each other. Lots of twists and turns. It's kind of funny.
What grade did you give that movie?
Like a B-.
So that got a better grade than
Reservoir Dogs? Yeah, I was actually interested in watching it. I mean, you know, also, in fairness, let me clarify one thing.
Yeah.
There's also bars that you set for a movie. So when I go to say, hey, I'm going to watch this movie on, I think it was Hulu, my bar is very low. Like, I'm just kind of looking at, just keep me entertained for a couple of hours. It's, you know, it's whatever. When you're watching a movie that you guys pump up as something so spectacular, the bar is a lot higher. By the way, the name of the movie is Happiest Season on
Hulu.
There
you go. By the way, the Martino virus is spreading through the sports world right now. Carton and Roberts, 877-337-6666. And I'll explain that to you. Martino's the guy at SNY who came out and said, yeah, winning a World Series, that shouldn't be the goal. That's actually not our goal. Do you have the actual audio of that? Just remind people what Martino said? Or no? Just give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. Yep, there we go. No? Yes? Yes? No? Martino, he's the guy from SNY who said it's not important to win a World Series. It's more about building a good process.
I could find it on my Twitter account quicker than you guys. I could play it through my speakers if you want.
Possibly have that audio, or else I'll just move on from it. But there's a there's a Martino virus that's apparently spreading now through the sports world.
A Martino virus?
Yeah, here's the Martino virus. Do you know who Mike Budenholzer is?
Yes.
He is the head coach
of the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's a basketball team.
Yes.
They have designs on an NBA championship.
They underachieved last year.
But they got the Greek freak.
It was tremendous.
Now,
did a hell of a
Budenholzer
job.
Came out moments ago and said, and I'm quoting.
Uh-oh.
This, oh, let me, if I'm quoting, let me read it as a quote. Championship or bust is not how I would define this season.
He's wrong.
He got Martino'd.
What is he doing?
It's all about a championship.
Craig, it's not like he's the coach, with all due respect to the Knicks. He's the coach of the Bucks.
Right?
You're damn right it's winning an NBA title.
No, he got Martino'd. That's what that's called now. When you accept moral victories and your goal is not to win a championship.
What is he doing?
We call that being Martino'd.
Winning a World Series isn't really a reasonable goal for a baseball team.
Winning a World Series isn't a reasonable goal for a baseball team.
Wow, it really is an infection.
Apparently winning an Emmy isn't one for guys on TV either.
Now, I can't believe the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Let's face it, probably the team to beat in the East. Maybe you rank them above my team, above Miami, but teams like that.
They're there.
And he's saying, no.
Now, I told you all day at 4 o'clock, I would switch gears with Evan just for a moment and read a statement to you from the commissioner of the NFL, who might very well be the single most tone-deaf commissioner in the history of professional sports. Okay. He was asked about, will there be a bubble, possibly, as we move closer to the NFL postseason playoffs? He asked about all things COVID, and obviously this is a very strange week considering that we had a football game yesterday afternoon, right? And a football game in which you were on the fourth string quarterback for a team that has legitimate playoff aspirations going up against, arguably, at least record-wise, the best team in the league, in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he came out and said this, quote, "We feel strongly that our protocol is working, COVID-related. There will be no bubble. There ain't no need for no bubble." Now, memo to Roger Goodell, and there's some very bright people over at the NFL. I think he's one of them, and I know a lot of them. Did you recognize that you just had a football game Wednesday afternoon at 3:40? And, oh, why wasn't it in prime time? Taking aside the day for a minute, because NBC had to air lip-syncing Dolly Parton at Rockefeller Center with Dan and Shay, and your game took a back seat to it. Memo to Roger Goodell. Half the Ravens lineup has COVID, and they're sick. Knock on wood, they all get over it, and there's a lot of asymptomatic guys in there, and they all get healthy, and their families are well. The Denver Broncos this past Sunday played without a quarterback. Right? Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You need me to remind you? Kendall Hinton.
And you have the gall, as the commissioner, to come out and say, "We feel strongly our protocol is working." How could you possibly make that statement when you just had a football game at Wednesday at 3:40? How could you possibly say that when you've had hundreds of players contract the COVID virus? You've had guys, stars, Miles Garrett, Cleveland Browns, miss multiple games.
Lamar Jackson now.
Lamar Jackson, the former MVP of the league.
Cam Newton missing games.
And on and on and on. And to come out defiantly and say, there will be no bubble, we feel strongly that our protocol is working, shows that you have no connection or regard for the players or the fans of the respective teams in the NFL at all. Open it up then, big man. Let fans go into stadiums and get sick together. And then we'll start counting the death toll from people who got sick watching an NFL game because you think that your protocol is working. God forbid an NFL player dies. It's possible. There's a lot of them getting sick. Let me know how well the protocol is working when one of them dies.
The biggest mistake in that statement is not just the tone deafness of it, because it's obvious. That part is like, of course. I mean, he's like sitting there bragging about how great of a job the NFL's done. Major League Baseball, and you know I've had my issues with the commissioner of Major League Baseball, but the best thing Rob Manfred did is they pivoted. So baseball started and they struggled, right? The Marlins had an outbreak. The Cardinals had an outbreak. And there was a lot of criticisms about, can this baseball season go on? What baseball decided to do, and it worked until the very end, they said, we got to pivot. We're going to have the playoffs at a bubble. And it worked because they saw how it worked in the NBA. They saw how it worked in the NHL. They got through the regular season. It was not easy. It was not perfect. Nobody would suggest it was. But they realized, wow, this is going badly. The Marlins had an outbreak. The Cardinals had an outbreak. Games are being canceled. We got to do something. The worst part about this, in my opinion, just for me, is not just the tone deafness. It's pivot. You see you're struggling to get through a season. You see it. It's obvious to all of us. You have to go into a playoff bubble. Am I wrong here? That, to me, is a no-brainer. Because you want to get through the season. And if you want to continue playing football during a global pandemic, which, let me admit, what's going on now is worse than what was happening in August and September. In fairness, I understand that. You've got to adjust. And the adjustment, to me, is what baseball did, which is, okay, we got through the season as best as we could. It wasn't great.
Right.
Now let's protect our players by putting him in a bubble. And to be defiant against it as if it's beneath the NFL, I don't understand that. Why? It worked for baseball, and it certainly worked for the NBA and the NHL. I don't get that. No, that's his biggest mistake to me.
Yeah, but it's also, it's part of the NFL, ego, the NFL attitude. We're the NFL. We have, our ratings, although they're down, are not down the way baseballs were, basketball, hockey are always down. We can absorb it. But, I mean, you just had a game on Wednesday featuring a team that, let's be honest, McSorley's not an NFL quarterback. And they only got to him, of course, I recognize, because RG3, pulled a hammy in the game.
Right.
But the fact is, the MVP of the league, is not playing, not because he's not able to play, because he's got COVID. You had 20-plus players on that team that are sick, and you forced them to play a game. And his answer, someone said to Goodell, why not have a week 18 so that game could have been played, let's assume, knock on wood, with healthy players? And his defiant answer was, how do we know that they're not going to be sick in week 18? Well, we don't. But we know that they're sick now. And the one thing we know about the virus is that once you're sick, and knock on wood, you recuperate from having the virus and you then have the antibodies, it's unlikely that you're going to get sick again. So the Ravens, at least in that spot, would have been healthier in week 18 almost as a guarantee than they are right now. And you diminished, frankly, and bastardized a season in the name of arrogance, in the name of, we're the NFL, we do what we want, and we don't really care what anybody thinks.
And you know what's worse than bastardizing a regular season? They're going to bastardize the playoffs. Because obviously the most important thing is the health, right? We're all going through this. This is not just NFL players, baseball players. We're all going through the global pandemic. So obviously health is number one. But if you're going to try to play a season during a pandemic, you want it to be as fair as possible. You want to get through it with the most integrity as possible. If you don't go into a bubble come January, what's to stop an outbreak on one of the playoff teams?
Right.
And how would
and
you feel?
What?
Well,
they're
great question.
The game.
What do you
play
do?
The game.
Okay.
They're
gonna,
so
how's
they're,
that going to be?
Let's just pretend for a minute that, Denver, New Orleans, I recognize it wouldn't happen, but just play out the fantasy, or Pittsburgh, Baltimore on Wednesday was the second weekend in January, and that was a playoff game. The NFL would have said, sorry, play.
Yeah.
Too bad. You're playing.
That's a problem.
We know that you have no chance to win, but you're going to play. We're not going to take into account the fact that you have a 30-year roster that is ineligible for the game. Not ineligible because they broke rules. Ineligible because we've put these rules in place, in theory, to protect people from getting sick, but it clearly hasn't worked. Now, you want to blame players for how they behave outside the scope of the training facilities? You could certainly do that. You want to blame certain guys even at the training facilities who aren't wearing masks and might be exposing people? Sure, blame them too. But the NFL is tone deaf to what's going on.
Well, the ultimate in tone deaf
is... That wasn't
is,
a football game yesterday.
They're no, but they're not
and
even...
And Sunday's Bronco game against the Saints wasn't a football game.
And they're not
game.
Even learning from it. Because if you learn from it, you'd say, okay, how do we protect the integrity of our postseason? How do we keep our players safe? And how do we have the most just NFL postseason we can have? What do you do? It's not that complicated. You create a bubble. The other three sports did it. And look, we could sit here all day and argue were the championships legitimate. The championships were legitimate in my mind, mainly because the virus didn't impact rosters throughout a postseason run. It didn't, because they put teams in a bubble. And mark my words, we're at the depths of this pandemic right now. And I hope the vaccine's here tomorrow. And obviously the priority is not going to be NFL players. It's going to be first responders. It's going to be doctors. It's going to be nurses. It's going to be our seniors. So it ain't going to the NFL.
It shouldn't.
It better not. So you've got to make an adjustment on how can we get through January and this postseason without what we saw the last 2 weeks happening again. And this commissioner is showing no budge because of ego. You're right. It is because of ego. We're the NFL. Nothing can stop us. I got a newsflash for the commissioner. A pandemic can stop you.
Yep.
You're not bigger and stronger than a pandemic. Sorry, you're not even bigger and stronger than a Christmas tree being lit, apparently.
We feel strongly that our protocol is working. There will be no bubble. That's the NFL.
There has to be a bubble.
Do you agree with me on that?
It's a no-brainer.
I mean, listen, we've seen
it
work.
How can it not be?
We've seen it work. That's all. You've seen, Major League Baseball didn't start off with the idea right away that they were going to move the postseason to, specific stadiums. The NHL did from Jump Street, mm-hmm. to their credit, and it worked out great. I give Gary Bettman a lot of credit. In conjunction with the Players Association and the owners, they came up with a plausible idea that worked. Now, we all recognize a lot more guys you're talking about, mm-hmm. on an NFL team than any other league. And that is a part of the issue. How do you handle literally 100 people per team? It's doable. Just got to figure out a way to do it without, really hurt. How do I put this the right way? You screwed with the sanctity of the sport. You had games this past weekend that weren't NFL games. They just weren't. It was literally like a replacement game. And the NFL doesn't give a damn. And you know why? Because Ben Roethlisberger is undefeated and he's going to the playoffs. And the Green Bay Packers so far seem to be okay. And Aaron Rodgers is going to the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? And Patrick Mahomes is going to the playoffs. You follow me?
I am following
and
you, right? Long,
and, oh, Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. may be going to the playoffs too.
Yep.
And that looks good for us.
Yep.
And as long as you have that, the Baltimore Ravens can be sacrificed. Now, I got no dog in that fight. The most comical thing of the whole COVID situation is in the NFL. And I got to be honest, only us, right? There's only a single team in the entire league that has been unaffected? Unaffected.
Okay.
Unaffected by COVID. That's the New York Jets.
It's really helped.
The one thing the Jets are doing better than everybody else, they got COVID lit. I don't know if it's Johnson & Johnson or the talcum powder. I don't know what it is.
It's the one thing they're beating in 2020.
But they got a big W. I'll give them credit for that. The New York Jets beat COVID. They can't beat the Dolphins or anybody else, but they beat COVID so far, right? Right or wrong?
No, they have. They've done a great job.
All right, we'll get your calls, 877-337-6666. Plus, apparently, one of our colleagues has now done something stupid on Twitter and tried to quickly erase anyone's memory of it, but did not erase it soon enough. That's coming up later this hour. It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
All right, 437, Carton and Roberts on The Fan. There's actually a big thing happening in the borough of Staten Island right now. And at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to talk to the king of Staten Island about that and other things. You see if Evan's allowed even to walk into the borough.
But if I want to go into the borough, too.
The Staten Island Yankees are now suing the New York Yankees, and they are suing Major League Baseball.
Yes.
And they are very, very upset right now because of the Yankees divorcing themselves.
Firing them, essentially.
From all things Staten Island.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the merits are of the lawsuit, but I can tell you that one of the things that was written is that there's a belief that the New York Yankees did not like a certain promotion that the Staten Island Yankees did.
And that caused them to dump them?
I don't believe that's why they dumped them. I think the Yankees were making a decision that they wanted to make going forward, and it did not include Staten Island anymore. But apparently they did a Pizza Rats promotion.
Right.
And wore Pizza Rat uniforms
right.
for a couple home games and called themselves the Staten Island Pizza Rats.
Why did that bother the Yankees?
And the Yankees thought that was, this is the allegation.
Okay.
That the Yankees were pissed off. Now, the president of the Staten Island Yankees, came out and goes, no, no, the Yankees knew about it. They loved it. Now.
Why would that bother them, though? Am I missing something? Is that an offensive
I don't know if you want your New York Yankee brand affiliated with Pizza Rats. I don't know.
It's a joke. It's the minor leagues. That's what minor league baseball is. Minor league baseball is one big, giant promotion. Am I wrong? That's all it is.
That's exactly what
it's
it
is. It's fun and games.
How about that, you know, rats, Pizza Rat uniforms and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but what's weird is, you know, we've known for over a month now that the Yankees were not being involved with Staten Island.
Yeah.
But like a week or two ago, I thought I saw a story that New York City pledged $5 million to the stadium for, you know, refurbishments, making it nice and pretty and whatever.
Well, they
upgrades.
Can still have a minor league team, probably an independent league. I mean, I think an independent league would want that marketplace.
Yeah, but how many, what's that, like 20 games?
No, they have half seasons.
So 40 home games?
Like, look at the Atlantic League. Right. How many games are played in the Atlantic League? That's the league with the Long Island Ducks.
I don't know. But, Kenya, I wonder, like,
over 100,
we,
probably.
We played a softball game there against Port Authority, I think. Against the Port Authority. I think we played a game there because I remember Boomer took a boat over there, and they wouldn't let him really? Park the boat in, like, a Port Authority boat slip. And they were like, you can't park the boat here because we need it.
Right.
You know, Case is like, the Port Authority
did
needs...
Did he remind them who he is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was the whole thing. So there was someone else, the guy who owned the boat, who I'm not going to say his name, he couldn't come to the softball game because he had no place to park the boat. So Boomer was like 20 minutes late. Like, where were you? He goes, they wouldn't let me park the boat.
So what'd he do? I don't understand.
So the guy that owned the boat
right.
dropped him and another player from our team off at the dock.
Okay.
And then they went from the dock, I guess it's pretty close to the stadium.
Right.
Over
well, it's
to
on the
stadium.
Water. Isn't the stadium like right
on
the water?
I don't think the dock is. I don't think the Port Authority dock. I could be wrong about that.
No, I have no idea.
But it was funny. That's a great stadium, though.
No, that's a shame.
I love
they got to get an affiliate, even if it's independent ball, because independent ball is still fun. It's baseball, and it's cheap, and you can take your family. I mean, that's a part of baseball Americana, minor league baseball.
I agree.
And it's
I
a
agree.
Shame what's happening to minor league baseball.
Like, and you can't I guess you could rent the park out, but you can't. They can't make enough money just renting it.
No.
Because what softball team's got, you know, we need $10,000 for the stadium.
No. They need an affiliation.
Well, I guess you could put events there, right?
Or an independent league team. Yeah, you could have events there.
I don't know.
Do people on Staten Island love having a baseball team? Like, will they support that team even if it's an independent league team?
I don't think the attendance was great.
Oh, was it?
I don't think
it
was.
And that's a problem because
I mean,
that's where the audience is coming from. The fans who are going to go to that ballpark, no offense, no one's traveling there to go to a game. I could be wrong. We could ask the King when he's on a little bit later. So I assume you need people of Staten Island to say, hey, that's... I actually saw the movie King of Staten Island. Have you seen that movie?
Yes. Yes.
They went to a Staten Island Yankee game.
Yes, I like that
in the movie.
Yes.
What's that guy's name again? I forget.
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Yeah. He's funny.
Yeah, anyway, the King of Staten Island will be joining us at 6 o'clock. So we'll get into that with him and see if Evan is given the blessing of entering the borough. Because right now, you're not allowed.
Well, I'll see if I consider going to Staten Island.
No, you're
missing
out.
I've been there in a while.
Great people there.
I didn't say anything about the people.
No, you did.
I had
you
an
did.
Issue with the Staten Island Expressway.
No, you took a shot at the people. You did.
Well, there were two particular people. They hit me with their car and then drove off.
Well, listen, they knew who you were.
I was nobody.
That's what happens.
I am nobody.
Speak badly about the borough, we hit you with the car, we drive off.
Come on.
Can't blame him on that one.
My poor cat in the front seat. What a disaster.
They killed your cat.
No, my cat did not die in the car.
They killed you. That's, now you're blaming Staten Island for killing your cat.
I didn't say that, nor did I brag about dunking on a 5-foot hoop.
Tom's in Tom's River. What's up, buddy? Hey, Tommy, what's up, bud?
Hey, what's up, guys? I disagree with you entirely. I've been listening since day one to pretty much both of you. And I've been listening in a long, like 30 years.
All right. What's the issue?
I drive all day. The issue is that you guys, you know, you're talking like the cases in New York City are the same as the rest of the country. And, you know, the rest of the country isn't having closures. My daughter, you just said it.
What did we say? What am I missing?
You said that you would rather have things closed down.
I said I'd rather have things closed down.
No, Tom, I think
down?
You missed it. I appreciate your sensitivity, but I think you misheard. You heard something that didn't take place here.
I was going to say, we're upset
that the NFL is not showing the same sensitivity to the life that you're living right now. So if you absolutely 100% misheard what anyone on this show said.
I don't even know how it could be misheard.
Give the guy a break. He misheard it. That's all. He didn't call you a witch. He made a mistake.
I'm not mad at him. I'm just questioning where that would even come from.
Sometimes people mishear things. It happens from time to time.
Look, I want the NFL and the NBA and baseball to go on, but you have to take, it's a different world, and you've got to understand that things are going to be affected, and you've got to be vigilant. So I'm not saying shut down the NFL.
Jay's in Center Reach on the Fan. JJ, what's on your mind, bud?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing great.
Listening to you talk about the Jets before, and, you know, Adam Gase self-incriminating himself there. So here's the little funny thing. I'm not a Jets fan, so to me it's kind of like one of these reality shows where, you know, you can't make half this stuff up.
Yep.
And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending, the Jet reality show is going to intersect with our national reality show in a very short time once Woody Johnson, the true owner, is no longer the ambassador
to the United Kingdom. Yes.
He's going to come back. And so I don't know if Chris Johnson makes that big a decision by himself in his lame duck. He's a lame duck too.
Well, let's remember. I know it's a long way away from here, but you have to make the assumption that Woody Johnson has spoken with Chris Johnson over the last 2 years and might be aware of any major expenditures or decisions and how they impact the franchise.
Whereas Chris Johnson, I would agree with you.
Whereas Chris Johnson obviously handles the minutiae, the day to day. I don't think for a minute that they made a decision, for example, to give Joe Douglas a 6-year contract, and Woody was unaware of
that. And that's what I'm going to ask. So you know as well as anybody, Woody is a hands-on owner. Woody Johnson and Mike Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan would speak almost daily, right? So Woody's a hands-on owner.
Yes.
Not saying it's right or wrong, that's what he is. He now gets this other job. He's the ambassador to the United Kingdom. Do we think, and I don't know the answer, I'm asking, do we think that this hands-on owner just said, wiping my hands of this, it's all you, Chris, I'm out? Or has he been active in how this organization has been run over the last 4 years?
Human nature is, when you have a multi-billion dollar entity, which is what the New York Jets are, and as you said, he was a hands-on owner.
Yes.
He liked to walk around with the thin tie on, the Jet hat, the glasses, the awkward clothes and all that stuff. And he loved it, right?
Yes, he did.
So I don't think for a minute that he's been unaware of what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what the rules are about what he's allowed to officially do and not, but to me, it's immaterial. He owns the team.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know how that whole thing works when he eventually gets replaced as ambassador, which obviously he will be, or he'll step down, one or the other.
Right.
I'm not sure how that works. Does he just come right home and poof,
he's back? He loved owning the team, didn't he? No, he wants to run the team.
Who knows? You know, sometimes the heart grows fonder when you're away from something. Sometimes you recognize you don't miss it as much as you thought you would.
And then
the flip side is, I don't know what the Johnson heirs, if there's like a nephew or a son who's in their 20s or young 30s who one day wants to run and operate a franchise. I apologize that I don't know the family structure.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, who knows, if one day they decide, you know what, I'm done with it. I had a run. I didn't win a Super Bowl.
Oh, you think so?
Got close to a Super Bowl a couple times, but didn't
win. Stevie Cohen?
But then the other problem is that
you're
asking, and then here's a big problem for the Jets. You're going to be asking at some point, maybe never, but I believe at some point it'll happen, a multi-billionaire to buy a franchise that does not have its own stadium.
And that is what, well, hold on. You get me very moist.
And that's one
of the things that this franchise needs to do down the road to really be the franchise they need to be is they got to get the hell out of the shadow of the New York Football Giants. They got to get out of New Jersey.
Well, they can't.
And they need their own stadium.
They can't.
I'm sure there's an out somewhere
the problem is
get out of it.
They share the debt load on the stadium.
So there's no way to ever get out.
Until you find someone to buy out that debt. You know,
would there be
out.
Motivation for anyone to buy out that
no,
debt?
No, why would there
so
be?
So they're their host there forever.
Well, not forever. I mean, I mean, theory, could they write a check?
Do you agree they don't belong there? Would you agree with that statement?
What do you mean by
not,
they don't belong there?
The Jets should be playing in Queens or Long Island. Would you agree with that statement?
I would prefer that they are, yes.
They should be.
I really wish they had built the West Side Stadium when they came close
I
to
totally
it.
Agree with that. That would look, great. That wasn't my number one option, but I would have certainly taken it over New Jersey. By the way, this guy designed a T-shirt for us. You want to take a look?
Yeah.
It's your face
with, well, I like it.
With a cigar in your mouth. I think it's from the
old photo.
Well, it's from the documentary.
Yeah, but that photo is so old.
Okay.
What are we doing?
And then in the background is me after my dunk. So it's your face, and then in the background, me after my dunk on the 6-foot basket.
I mean, my face is on it, so I like it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No. I think it's hodgepodge.
You don't like what he did?
Conceptually, I like the fact he's trying. He's
thank
thinking.
You, Andrew. Andrew emailed that to us. We appreciate it.
Nice I appreciate attempt. The fact that he's trying.
Yeah.
I like that. But I only saw the quick little glimpse that you showed me.
Emailed it to you, too. You can check it out.
Emailed or tweeted?
Email.
Emailed. Has he had my email? Oh, the
because
Entercom
you
email?
Gave it out.
I did give
the,
it out.
On the air, on
yeah,
Twitter.
I think you should be able to connect with the listeners.
No, I know.
By proxy, I guess I gave everyone's email out.
Yes, you did.
That happened a
that's
little
okay.
bit.
I've gotten a few emails over the last few weeks.
That's good. You should connect with the audience.
I have. I'm trying to write everybody back. Very nice of you.
I'm in a fight with a radio station in Boston right now. There's this low-rated hack show in Boston on WEEI. It's called, what's it called? OMD, ODM? I don't know. Whatever it is. It came in ninth place. It's a joke. I'd be shocked if they're working in January, actually. So they brought me on under the guise of, you know, Giving Tuesday.
Right.
And I was happy to do it. Same company. And they, you know, I'm back. They wanted to do a story. And they said, yeah, it's Giving Tuesday. We want to have you on for Giving Tuesday. I was happy to do it. Company asked me to do it. Company guy. Figured I'll do it. And they started coming at me very aggressively. You know, about going to prison. Mm-hmm. About the, you know, the things I was found guilty of. But you know, just it was weird. Like, I have no connection to those guys. I don't know them at all personally. I've never been on the show before, and they started coming at me, and then they asked me a question about having like conjugal visits with my wife while I was in prison, and I reacted poorly to it because they were coming at me aggressively, which I didn't appreciate because I was doing them a favor. Like, they asked me to come on because their ratings suck. And like a lot of places, they figure, oh, bring me on, and people are going to want to listen. Because they get like quadrupled in the ratings by the competing sports radio station. It's embarrassing how bad that show is in the ratings. Mm-hmm. Like ninth place, why even go to work? Like if we came in ninth place in the ratings for an entire book, I would hand in my resignation because it's embarrassing. So they thought they'd come at me tough. And aggressively, and I got sensitive to a question about conjugal visits because I thought it was stupid. And I told the guy, you're being stupid. You know full well there's no conjugal visits, you moron. And then we finished the interview, whatever, whatever, right? So I did this interview with them on Tuesday. So they held on to it. Then their producer sent out something stupid, so he got suspended today for being an a-hole.
Really?
Yeah. And then they decide, you know, to air it. I guess at 4:00 they aired it. So I put out a tweet, you know, basically just putting out the ratings in Boston and how they embarrass themselves. And frankly, should keep their mouth shut because they're in ninth place. You know, if you're top five, maybe call me back. But while you're in ninth place and your job's not that secure, shut your faces, all right? And did I get sensitive? You're damn right I did, because I was doing you a favor. You asked me to come on a radio station for a charity day. And decided to try to be tough guys and come at me aggressively about going to prison and being found guilty. Okay. I didn't run away. I didn't hang up. I gave it back to you because I was offended by the question about conjugal visits. And I moved on and we finished the interview. And they sat on this interview for 2 days because they're so effing desperate for ratings that they waited until they could use my voice to help them out. Why you'd want to talk to me in Boston, I have no idea anyway. I have zero connection to Boston, you losers. And I would never invite you to come on this show because no one cares about you. But you care about me because you needed me to help your lousy ratings. Keep getting ninth place ratings. Keep doing it. You're an embarrassment to this company. When the company gets together and they have their quarterly meetings, you know what they say? OMD's not getting the job done. They're being quadrupled by the competition. You're a joke in the entire company. I will probably be replaced very soon. Ninth place afternoon drive in Boston. And you held on to an interview I did 2 days ago and aired it in prime time, 4 o'clock, because you suck. You have no content on your own. And there's three of you morons who collectively can't do a radio show without me being a part of it for an interview that I did 2 days ago. Let's sit on it. Hopefully it'll get us ratings. The new week starts today. Let's put it in prime time. I have zero connection to Boston. Boston never heard of me, nor should they have. I've never worked in Boston. I happen to love Boston, great city. Love visiting. There's no reason to ever put me on as a guest in Boston other than if you're a ninth place desperate hack radio show with a former football player and journeyman baseball player who are barely hanging on to their jobs. So, yes, I admit I got sensitive in the interview because I didn't appreciate the line of questioning when I'm doing you a favor appearing on supposed to be Charity Day, and then you air the interview 2 days later with no context to the invitation that you gave me. Ninth place. Ugh. So you just keep your mouth shut and hope that Felger and Maserati take a few more vacation days. Hacks. Yeah. Average athletes, below average radio talent. Oh, Carton's a wimp. Carton's sensitive. I'm telling you, I got sensitive to the question because I didn't appreciate it. So have your fun on Twitter. I win, you lose. I'm not in ninth place with Evan. We got ratings for 3 days. 3 days.
And we're not in ninth place?
No.
In any of those quarter
hours? Highest rated talk show in New York City after 3 days. That's a fact. Cannot be disputed. 3 days in, there's not a talk show in New York City after 3 days with better ratings from 2 to 7. Not one. Doesn't exist. We're not ninth place, hacks. No talent, losers. And then you have like your 6 or 7, you know, little, you know, sycophants with 2 followers between them. Hey, Carton, you're a wussy. I'm telling you, I got sensitive to the question because I didn't appreciate it. Because you asked me to come on to do you a favor. Help us out. Our ratings suck. Please help us. You know how to do radio. We don't know how to do radio. Could you please help us? We're so desperate. Felger and Maserati own us. You're lucky Felger and Maserati let you breathe in Boston and permit you to do that lousy radio show of yours. No, I mean, it's embarrassing. Ninth place. You're not even in the game. Zero. So have your 9 or 10 people yell at me, call me names on Twitter. I'm good with it. I'm a big boy. It's like I told your program director today. I got a microphone too. I don't lose that battle. Yeah, oh, I'm a criminal. Oh, he's a criminal. Yes. I went to prison. Yes. Open book. Please come on our show. We're getting killed by the competition. How do you do good radio? So I'm in the middle of that right now.
You're right over there, pal.
It just, I'm trying to be a good guy.
They asked
me to come on. I never heard of their show. So I go on Tuesday on the Charity Day. They don't air the interview on Charity Day. They don't air it the next day. Then they got their ratings yesterday. Guess what? They sucked. So now they're like, oh my God, the ratings sucked again. New ratings week starts on Thursday. How can we pump up our sagging, despicable company embarrassment ratings? Oh, let's put Carton on. You know, he's a ratings magnet. He'll help us out. I'm glad I helped you. But here's the reality. The rest of your show is going to suck because it always sucks. It sucks at 2, at 3, at 4, at 5. See the ratings in front of me. Right here. Your show sucks. Listeners hate you. A few people listen out of pity. The one show gets a 15 share. You have a 3 share. You don't exist. So I'm glad I helped you out. Don't ask again. And if you want a recommendation, go somewhere else. Because your PD's probably going to, probably already started looking for a new afternoon show. I would. If I was getting, what's five times? Quadruple, it's four. What's five?
Quint, I think.
Yeah, if someone was quintupling me in the ratings, yeah. I would get my resume ready. Because it's coming, boys. It's coming. Quintupled.
Hope I was right about that. Is it quintupled?
I think you're right.
Okay, good.
I hope so. Jeez.
Yuck. And now I wasted 5-7 minutes of New York airtime on these losers with no ratings, begging me to help them out. Please come on our show for charity day. Nobody listens. We're not going to raise any money.
Feel better?
I do.
Good. That's all that matters.
And I wanna, listen, call me. I was very sensitive. I acted sensitively to a question I didn't appreciate under the circumstance of how and why I was invited on that show. Guilty as charged. Yep. I overreacted to a question about conjugal visits because I thought it was a stupid question in an interview that came across very aggressively to me when I'm doing you a favor. So I'm not denying that I was sensitive. I was. But try to get ratings on your own. Call me back when you're in like sixth place. We can have a celebration. Or maybe come in eighth. When you come in eighth, we'll celebrate eighth place. Be a big achievement for you.
But I'm told seventh isn't bad.
Good job, man.
But I apologize. Big Mac's in seventh place.
I was going to say.
But that's, again, that's my guy. And he was in seventh before we started the show.
Right.
I'm getting the ratings on you during the break. All right? 6 o'clock, we talk to the king of Staten Island. See what's going on with those Staten Island Yankees suing the real Yankees and Major League Baseball. And find if we can get Evan a day pass to go over there with me. And we'll give you the latest on the New York Mets have appointed you. No joke, Stevie Cohen did it on Twitter last night. Has appointed you the new general manager of the New York Mets. What are you going to do with it? Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.